Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Melissa. So, quick update before we jump into the sermon. We don't have an official global spotlight today, but Melissa prayed for a couple of things just to give you guys a quick update. So Alpha and Steveston were about 60 or 70% of the way through, and yesterday we had our Alpha weekend, which is where we focus on the Holy Spirit. And it was just a really great time of talking and reflecting and praying together for some people who had just never heard of the Holy Spirit or never thought about the Holy Spirit. It was just a great time to pray together and invite the Holy Spirit in and invite the Holy Spirit to fill us. So please continue to pray for our Alpha. We'll be done at the beginning of June, and I'm just excited to see what the Lord is going to do. The second update, Jeremy and Teresa Feller, they are our Global Partner of the Month. But Jeremy also, as you know, Pastor Danny's been in Halifax this week for the PAUC conference, and Jeremy was just elected the Executive Director for Mission Global. So he will be overseeing all of our global partners for the PAUC across the world, which is amazing. So please pray for him this week, especially as they figure out the transition for their family. And just figure out what that's going to look like for them, especially with their missions in Africa. So we wanted to bring you an exciting update from the PAUC conference this week. Pastor Danny will be back next week. I'm sure he'll have lots of other stories. But I thought, especially since we've been praying for Jeremy and Teresa, it would be great to let you guys know what had happened with them this week. So this Sunday, I am going to talk about Abigail. So I've titled this Wisdom, Peace, and Courage in Action. The passage that we're going to walk through is 1 Samuel 25, 1 to 42. I'm not going to read it verse for verse, but you're welcome to open your Bibles or your Bible app and follow along as we walk through it. So this message, I actually wrote this last year. If you remember last summer, we walked through the hidden gems, and I talked about Lydia. And then in Steveston, this was even before I had been hired as the Steveston pastor, I spoke about Abigail because I spoke there a few times over that summer. And so I wrote this message, but most of you didn't get a chance to hear it. And when I started thinking about what I was going to say today, this came to mind, and I thought, well, someone probably needs to hear it if the Lord's bringing it to mind. So here we go. So to start with, have you ever watched, and I'm sure the answer from all of you is yes, watched a situation spiral so fast that one foolish decision was like ready to ruin everything? So a text message sent in anger that you can't unsend. Social media, need I say more? A defensive reaction in a conversation with a coworker or with your spouse that you can't unsay, or maybe a rash decision that someone makes driving, like running through a stop sign or a red light, for example. So all of those are things that just in a split second, everything can unravel or everything can get ruined. So in 1 Samuel 25, we read about a woman named Abigail. She intervenes into that kind of moment with wisdom, peace, and action. And her response keeps a disaster from happening. So we're going to talk about what that looks like. I'm going to give you the context of what's happening in 1 Samuel 25. So after the prophet Samuel died, he was buried in Ramah. David, who is not the king yet, he moved to the desert of Paran, which is sort of in between Egypt and Israel. Meanwhile, in a nearby town, there was a wealthy man named Nabal who owned huge flocks of sheep and goats, like huge, like he was wealthy. He was also very harsh and unpleasant, but his wife is described as wise and beautiful. When David hears that Nabal is shearing his sheep, so at the sheep shearing time would have been a big festival, lots of celebrating, lots of food. David hears, it's sheep shearing time for Nabal, and he sends messengers over with a friendly greeting. He's like, hey, Nabal, just a reminder that my men have always protected you and your sheep and your shepherds. We've never taken anything from you, and maybe you can spare some food for me and for my men. This is a little bit of a throwback back to 2003. Mariah Carey, has anyone seen the meme where she pretends she doesn't know Jennifer Lopez? It's just like, no one's heard of this. There was an interview that she did where someone's like, what do you think of her new song? And she was like, I don't know her. Now, has anyone here not ever heard of Jennifer Lopez? You'd have to be like living under a rock in 2003 to have not heard about Jennifer Lopez. But she literally was just like, I don't know her. Anyway, look it up. It's quite funny. Nabal does the same thing. He's like, David, I don't know him. And he refuses to give them anything. When David hears this, as we know, as we see in the Psalms, as we see in lots of other scriptures, David has a little bit of a temper. And he's like, rounds up 400 of his men, and he sets out ready to wipe out Nabal and his whole household, everything that he has. David's like, let's go. Now, one of Nabal's servants hears what happens, and he tells Abigail, Nabal's wife. And he says, David's always protected us. And he says, there's a disaster coming. David's really mad. Abigail immediately, the Bible says, she immediately gathers a huge supply of food and rode out to meet David without telling her husband. When she meets David, she humbles herself, apologizes for her husband's foolishness, and pleads with David not to take revenge. Now, this is key. She reminds him that God would give him a lasting kingdom, and he should not have the burden of needless bloodshed on his conscience. David is moved by her wisdom and thanks God for sending her to stop him from acting in anger. He accepts her gifts, and he sends her home in peace. Now, when Abigail gets back, Nabal's having a great time. He's hosting a grand feast, so she waits until the morning to tell him what has happened. And when she does, his heart fails, and then God strikes him dead. When David hears that Nabal had died, he prays God for keeping him from wrongdoing and for dealing with Nabal himself. And then, because it's David, he proposes to Abigail and he marries her. Now, Abigail's story shows us that wisdom, peacemaking, and courage can shift the trajectory of conflict. But even deeper than that, Abigail had the spiritual maturity to recognize what kind of moment she was in. Now, not every moment needs the same response. So some moments will call for patience, some will call for prayer, some will call for immediate obedience. You can go to the next slide. Abigail knew that this was a moment where wisdom needed feet. She also models remarkable humility. Abigail doesn't come to David demanding to be heard or defending herself. She lays down pride, humbles herself, and begs for forgiveness on behalf of her husband. And perhaps more importantly, she reminds David who God has called him to be. She lifts his eyes off of the insult that has been bestowed on him and back onto God's promises. And God uses Abigail's wisdom to keep David from stepping into sin. You can go to the next slide. So point one, the first thing we learn, wisdom in action. That's very small for you to read. But it says, godly wisdom leads to life-giving action, especially in high-pressure situations. So we have this story of Abigail, and we have to look at what we learn from her in today's day and age. Now, this is the first thing that I think when I read her story is the importance of wisdom in action. What stood out to me was she immediately acted. In verse 18, we read, Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband, Nabal. So her godly wisdom leads to action in this situation. But the important distinction is that Abigail acted quickly, but she did not act rashly. Quick action is not the same as anxious reaction. When we're rooted in God's wisdom, we don't freeze, we don't, you know, react out of our fear, but we also don't move in human urgency. And wisdom that comes from God will give us the right pace. There are times when we do sit and wait on God. There's often times where we need wisdom from the Lord, and we sit and we ask and we wait for him to tell us what to do. But there are also moments in our lives where God asks us to just move, just do something and take the next step in faithfulness. And sometimes doing nothing is actually disobedience. Abigail shows us through her quick action that wisdom doesn't just know what's right, it knows when a moment needs action. And she moved quickly but not rashly. I want to tell you a quick story of a time when I had to make a quick decision. This was a very long time ago, many years ago. Many of you know I grew up in Prince George. I spent a few years driving back and forth during Bible college for Christmas or for holidays. And I was driving home one year around Christmas time through the Fraser Canyon. I was actually with Kirsten Arding. She was driving with me. And it can be really dangerous driving if you're not experienced driving through snow and driving through the Fraser Canyon. And we're driving through the canyon, and all of a sudden, the car that's coming toward us starts swerving. And at first, I thought they were just distracted by something. But then I realized that they were actually like drifting into our lane. And it's very narrow and it's winding. You don't know who's coming around the corner toward you. We were driving at night. Again, we were young, a little dumb. And instinctively, I acted without even thinking about it. I flashed my high beams and I laid on the horn. And the sudden noise jolted them back into their lane, probably just seconds before we would have crashed into them. I remember just that feeling of like when you almost get in a car accident and you're shaking so hard, but you're like, I can't pull over anywhere. And I remember when I thought about this story, I was thinking about how quickly in action, right? Like when you learn to drive, it's like you cannot hesitate. You have to know what to do and you have to trust your instincts. And that's what I see in the story of Abigail. She shows us that this thing is unfolding, this potential disaster is unfolding, and Abigail understands that wisdom has to move. It has to do something. So my question this morning, before we move to the next point for you, is when have you seen in your own lives wisdom stop a situation from getting worse? And I'll let you just like think about that for a second. We can go to the next slide. So the second thing we learn from Abigail is the power of peacemaking. So peacemaking is not just weakness. And one of the reasons that Abigail is such a powerful peacemaker is that she combines peace with humility. She doesn't come to David trying to protect her pride or trying to protect her husband, trying to win an argument. She just speaks the truth to David with honor, and she redirects him toward the future that God has before him instead of toward revenge. This is what makes her a peacemaker and not just a peacekeeper. In verse 28, we read, "Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord." What Abigail does here is so powerful. She's not merely trying to calm David down. She is bringing peace in the name of the Lord. She reminds him that this conflict that he has, what could be considered a relatively minor insult, is bigger than his wounded pride. God has a future for David, which he doesn't even know the extent of at this point, and vengeance does not belong in that future. This is where we need to remember in our lives. Peacekeeping avoids conflict, but peacemaking enters conflict with the presence of God. When Nelson Mandela became president of South Africa, the country was on the edge of racial violence after apartheid, and many people expected revenge. That would have been peacekeeping in a shallow sense of avoiding the conflict or letting tensions simmer while pretending that things were fine. And obviously in our world today, we've seen a lot of this kind of a situation, right? But instead, as we know, Mandela chose peacemaking. He publicly forgave his former oppressors. He supported truth and reconciliation, and he allowed people to tell the truth openly. It's not passive, it's the opposite of passive. In fact, it was very costly, intentional work to heal relationships and break the cycles of bitterness. The difference between being a peacemaker and a people pleaser is a lot like what Abigail does in this situation. She's not simply just trying to make David happy so that he doesn't destroy their family, but she brings peace to him in the name of the Lord. And the question that I have for myself and for all of you, what do I need to do in my own life to grow in becoming a true peacemaker like Abigail? Not just trying to avoid conflicts, not just trying to smooth things over, but to bring peace in the name of the Lord and to see what it is that he wants out of this situation. The next slide, the courage to do what's right. The third thing that I learned from Abigail is that righteous courage means doing the right thing, even when it's risky or it goes against the grain. Abigail stepped into the situation with the courage to do what was right. It's more than she just did a brave thing. It was the courage to step into danger and risk herself to protect others. Now remember, she's not just protecting her husband or herself. She's protecting their entire livelihood, all of their, everything that they have, everything that they've earned, everything they've raised, any children that they might have had. She's protecting everything because David would have set out to take them all out. She steps into this situation, not knowing what she's walking into, not knowing if she'll even succeed in calming David down. But she's courageous because she hears David coming with 400 men ready for revenge, and she doesn't hide or freeze or hope that the situation goes away. She acts immediately, loads provisions to provide for him what he was, maybe even more than what he was asking for. And then she goes to meet him herself and walks straight into what could be a potentially deadly situation. Also notable is that Abigail is going against the normal expectations in her setting. So for the wife of Nabal, there is very few situations in this time where she would have been expected to step into that situation. She doesn't wait for Nabal's permission, even though he's her husband and he's the head of her household, and that's what would have been expected at that time. But her courage isn't just like emotional bravery where she builds herself up and says, okay, you know, he's a fool, and so I'm going to run in and do this. It's discernment under pressure. In verse 31, we read, "My Lord will not have on his conscience." Now, when she says "my Lord" in this sentence, she's referring to David. So she's saying "my Lord" and humbling herself before him. She says, "My Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or having avenged himself." This is Abigail's way of appealing to David's future and his conscience. She's essentially saying, "David, do not let one moment of anger become a memory that you have to carry for the rest of your life." How many of us have that moment where we've done something in anger and we think about it, sometimes for the rest of our lives? And it might not be as big of a situation as what David was facing, but I think we can all think of something that we've done, said in anger, frustration, and that becomes a memory that we have to carry for the rest of our life. Abigail is brave enough to say what needs to be said. She reminds David that vengeance is beneath his calling, and that the Lord will deal with the issue. And so her courage is not only in what she does, but also in what she says. What this looks like is that her courage is prophetic in a practical way. So she speaks to the future, not just to the moment that they're in. She helps David remember who he is becoming. Sometimes wisdom sounds prophetic, not because it predicts the future, but because it reminds people of who God has called them to be. She lifts David's eyes up from this insult that he's feeling at being denied food or being denied provisions, and she lifts his eyes up to the long-term calling that David is well aware that the Lord has put on his life. She reminds him that he is in the process of becoming a king, and that his present actions should reflect his future calling. She gives him a better story to tell. By listening to her, David's story will not just be the man who slaughtered out of rage, but the king who trusted God's justice. And that takes courage. Now, we're not talking about David necessarily today, but of course we know that David grows up to be the king. He steps into that calling, and we have to wonder how much of this is this reminder that Abigail brings to him, that this is who God's called you to be, and you need to step into that. Now, maybe the Lord is asking some of us not to escalate what hurt us, or to trust God enough to let go. Abigail becomes one of the ways that God himself restrains David from sin. Her courage is not just admirable, but it's an example of God's mercy to David. God uses her voice and her wisdom to keep David from carrying this bloodshed into his future. During the Crimean War, Florence Nightingale visited British military hospitals, and she found soldiers dying not mainly from battle wounds that you would expect, but actually from filthy conditions that they were experiencing. There was contaminated water, there was overcrowding, and they weren't getting the care that they needed after coming off of the battlefield. When she returned to Britain, she had a choice. She could go public and attack the army's leadership, or she could tell the truth in a way that they would actually hear. She chose the second. She chose courage with wisdom. She gathered statistics. She turned them into a presentation. She turned them into speeches that she could use, and then she appealed to the government on behalf of these soldiers. Because she spoke with wisdom and with courage, there were sanitation reforms, and there was many lives that were saved after she even left the battlefield. This is the courage that I see when I read the story of Abigail, someone who listens to what the Lord is asking her to do, steps into it quickly with wisdom and with courage. How do we find courage to do what's right when we're afraid? What gives us strength in these moments that we face like Abigail, when we're not sure what to do and we know we need to do something? Abigail took her courage from what God was telling her to do. Abigail didn't have a title. In fact, this is pretty much all we know about Abigail. We know at the end of this story, she marries David, becomes one of his wives, goes with him and all of his men. And yet her wisdom, her peacekeeping, and her courage shapes the future King David and, of course, changes the course of a nation. Her one act of obedience interrupts this what could have been an entire chain reaction. So I'm going to actually call the worship team to come back up. And we're going to take a couple of minutes and reflect. My challenge for all of us today, and you can go to the next slide, Joshua. What might God do with you and through you if you lived like Abigail? If you listened when God asked you to step into something quickly, if you asked God for his wisdom, where is God calling you to bring wisdom this week? Who in your life might need peace? And how can you be a vessel for it? courageous action is God prompting you to take? Abigail reminds us that her spirit-led act of wisdom changed everything and stopped destruction in its tracks. I wonder how many of us are living in an Abigail moment, or maybe are about to experience an Abigail moment, trying to decide if we need to be patient, if we need to sit and pray, or if we need to act in immediate obedience. There might be a place or a situation in your lives where you could react in frustration or walk away, and maybe God is asking you to step in like Abigail did, with wisdom, with peace, and with courage. So this morning, just as we finish up, I just want us to reflect on this. Where is God asking you to step in? Where could you be asking the Lord to give you wisdom today? And as we reflect, let's ask the Lord to open our eyes that we don't miss these moments. Let's be people who trust what God is doing and trust the spirit that he's given us and take the appropriate steps of action that he's asking us to take.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at LadnerLife.com. That's www.LadnerLife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.